No, I'm not for sale.
Welcome back to the Stampede Blue Colts Cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for joining me here on Thursday. And we're still sitting here preparing for the Buffalo Bills and the Indianapolis Colts coming into this one at 9-3. Obviously, this is not necessarily ideal. In week 14 here, we've got the Buffalo Bills. We've got the Ravens coming up actually in 2 weeks. But the Colts really have a couple winnable games here. Next week they play the Broncos on a Thursday, and then they finish the season against the Texans. There are legitimately at least those two games, and possibly even this week, that the Colts could possibly win. So for all of the fans that are talking about draft position, this could put a real wrench in the gears here. And possibly get the Colts maybe even a lower draft pick in the end if they were to pull a couple of these out. But let's look at a couple things here. I want to look at the injury report here so we can talk about what we can expect to see this week. Darryl Daniels still did not practice on Wednesday. He is still battling that hamstring injury. Jonathan Hankins, he did not practice either. Apparently a chest issue for the defensive tackle for the Indianapolis Colts. Not good for them, especially for their run defense. Hankins is super important for the Colts going forward. He really does a lot, especially hunting the line of scrimmage. He's definitely a big player in taking up a couple different linemen. This is kind of a big blow if for some reason he is to have to sit out this week. That's not good for the Colts at all, and especially not good for the run defense. So Ryan Kelly still going through the concussion protocol. He was limited with a non-contact jersey. He has a couple more steps left to go before he can do that. Still have to see the independent as well at the end to kind of give him the go-ahead for week 14. Don't know if he does. The other side of that is Mike Person, who came in and filled in very admirably for him in week 13, nursing an ankle injury. He also didn't practice. Dante Moncrief, with an ankle injury as well, did not practice. Rashawn Melvin's still out with his hand issue. I wouldn't be surprised if – I don't want to say that they would IR him, but – I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. You just don't want that coming back to be any long-term issue. Look, he's a guy that the Colts should want to re-sign, right? I think that unless he can be effective, he can possibly catch interceptions. If he can't catch a ball, then the Colts if he can't catch a ball, he's going to have a hard time being handsy, being good in press. That's really risky, not only just for future pain and such, but why would you want to bring a guy in and make his injuries worse? I don't think he's going to play this week for sure. That's 14. That gives him 3 weeks left to play. Maybe he comes in and plays, and the Colts are kind of hurting in the secondary now. I mean, Desir goes out, that's an issue, and that's just not fun. So he hit IR. Also, John Simon hit IR. So here's a couple things that we are going to see. We're going to see Quincy Wilson, and we're going to see Quincy Wilson really taking, some legitimate snaps, I believe, at cornerback. And then this is something that Colts fans have wanted to see for a long time. It's a shame that we're seeing it now when the Colts are virtually out of every single possibility to make the postseason. But it still stands that we're going to see this guy and we're going to see what he's made of. Another rookie with the Simon designation to IR. We're going to see him a lot. We're going to see Terrell Basham, We're going to see what he can do. He's going to get a lot of snaps. He's going to be getting probably, I would say, the bulk of the snaps, even over Barcavius Mingo. He and Sheard are likely to be bookends on that part of it. The Colts also signed Anthony Johnson. He's a 6'2 defensive end. He's 295 out of LSU. Especially if Hankins has got an issue. It's good that Ridgeway's back. He was limited, but he's back. you know, that there's a lot of questions right now going on with the Colts and their health right now. The Colts have a lot of guys on IR. It's really crazy to see the sheer numbers of guys that are on the sidelines right now. And a large part of them were guys that we expected to have major impacts this year. Let's go through these real quick. I mean, we just talked about the first one, John Simon, and that's not good. I mean, look at Henry Anderson. You know, he was a guy that was coming on strong, looking like he was going to have another really good year. Had a freak neck thing. That's not good. Deshaun Bond, who originally settled in for Ryan Kelly at center to begin the year, he was gone. Quan Bray, the kick return, now they've got Josh Ferguson doing that. Desir just going off. Krishan Hogan right after he came up. Malik Hooker, rookie. Edwin Jackson, possibly the best inside linebacker the Colts had at the beginning of the season, at least that they were hoping to have at the season. Andrew Luck, obviously, that's kind of a big one. Jack Muhort, that's a big one in theory, though, right? Because he's a good offensive lineman, and he's struggled this year anyways, but he also struggles with the injury. Don't know that he'll be back. I'll be honest with you. I would not count my chickens before they hatch with him. Christine Michael, just running back, you know, it wasn't. I don't think that he was a major piece or anything like that. I just think that the Colts needed some extra running back depth. He just happened to go to IR very, very early. Eric Swoop, obviously, you know, adds that thunder or adds the lightning to the thunder of the Doyle and Swoop combination there. And we didn't get to see him this year. Sad. A lot of these guys. Robert Turbin, obviously, we remember the nasty arm injury for him. And George Wynn, another running back that the Colts brought in to help out. This is just an insane amount of guys that the Colts really, I mean, for the most part, a large majority of those guys, that the Colts couldn't afford to lose this year to have any sort of competitive balance in the division and to, I mean, especially in the AFC. But, I mean, look, we don't even know what's going, you know, we're looking to 18 already. We're looking for Andrew Luck. We're looking for all these guys to come back. We're looking to see who we're going to get out of the draft pool. We're looking to see what kind of free agents are going to be signed. I mean, don't get me wrong. This offseason is going to be fun, right? It's going to be a fun, lot of fun talking points, lots of draft stuff. I know that Jake, Arthur, and myself and a lot of the guys at Stampede Blue are going to be really pumping out some serious draft work. It's going to be exciting to see Chris Ballard in draft number two, in my opinion. Also, in the free agency market, he did a bang-up job in the free agency this past year. Granted, a couple of these guys have hit IR. I mean, you can't predict any of that stuff. And, you know, for all the people that say that his draft picks haven't really worked out, you know, I wouldn't say that. I mean, obviously the Banner pick was a pick that I didn't see coming. I don't think anybody saw coming. But don't get me wrong. Look, these picks were for the future. Basham, to me, is a little questionable as to what he'll actually develop into. I think Malik Hooker is going to be fantastic. I think Quincy Wilson's going to be fantastic. I think that Marlon Mack's going to be fantastic. I think that these were necessary additions, especially when you consider that the Colts needed a running back. They needed a lockdown corner, that whether he actually turns into that or not, Wilson, that is, we don't know. And they definitely needed some help, a guy that could be rangy and cover the whole field back at safety. So, I mean, they're largely, in my opinion, you know, and Walker, the linebacker, they loved him. And I think they still do, although he's not getting any starting reps at all right now. I don't know what that, if that indicates anything necessarily, but I do think, I would say that that definitely shows that, you know, he's taken a back seat so far, but they love him. They love his physicality. They love his brain. So we'll have to see what he does next year. Maybe he ends up kind of, you know, stepping to the forefront and really taking this off season to get better. But the Colts definitely need a lot this off season. But look, we're not there yet. We've got the Bills. And, you know, this is, I wouldn't say a fun matchup, not yet anyways. And the fun part about this is we really don't know who we're going to see, whether it's Tyrod Taylor, whether it's going to be their other quarterback that they just brought in, and Nate Peterman. These are going to be exciting things to watch. Look, if Peterman starts, the Colts could win this game. I mean, five interceptions in the one game. We don't know. But look, he is apparently known to let go of the ball pretty quick. That typically, even though that is where a lot of mistakes for young quarterbacks come, that typically really eats at this Colts defense, in Colts defenses in the past. And that's something that, you know, they can't get the pressure. If he's accurate, that's going to be problem. That's going to be problematic for the Colts defense, most definitely. And we just don't know what the Colts are going to be able to do about it. And when you look at their injury report as well, you know, you've got guys like Tre'Davious White, been great for them this year, and, you know, took that cheap shot from Gronk, and he was in concussion protocol, but he seems to be in a similar spot as Ryan Kelly. Back on the practice field, going through the steps, looks like he could probably play. Kyle Williams, defensive tackle, he did not practice. You know, they've got some other guy. And in fact, that's the kind of the issue with Tyrod Taylor. He has a knee. He didn't practice. So, I mean, LeSean McCoy, he was full, but he's been nursing an E. Cordy Glenn. I mean, these guys have a lot of guys. Charles Clay, they're tight end. You know, they've got a lot of guys that have been dinged up as well. So, this could be a real ugly game, but it could also be a game that the Colts could pull out. That the Colts could show that they can put together. I mean, and it's not that they're going against an inferior talent level, because I don't know if that's the case. Second of all, it's kind of like you just want to see them put the pieces in order and see where they come in and how everything falls into place. I'm really hopeful that Jacoby can put together a really solid game plan, if he can execute a really solid game plan from Chudzinski, I'm really hoping that he can kind of put all this fundamental stuff together and, you know, put together a really solid performance. Because, look, guys, as much as I bust on him a little bit for the things that I see that he's not doing well, I'm really hopeful for him. And this is kind of the middle ground that we get into as fans, especially as Colts fans. You know, we are by nature a very fickle fan base, guys. I would say that there's a large portion of Colts fans that are fair weather, that they're just not, you know, they just won't follow the team. And it just gets worrisome and wearisome on people. So much when you add into the fact that Pagano's still in place, that a lot of this stuff is still going on. We don't know what the deal is with Luck's injuries, you know, things like that. There's just too much speculation, too much, disdain for the coaching position. But look, this offseason, we're going to be talking about coaches. We're going to be talking about, did somebody stay? Did somebody not? There's a lot of things that we're going to be talking about this year, and I think it's going to be an exciting offseason. I really do. For all of the vitriol that we've gone through and all of the issues that we've kind of taken as a fan base over the past few years, I think this offseason, if not more, and probably significantly more than last, is going to give us a lot of hope and excitement, I think. I think that most of us trust Chris Ballard. I think that I do. I mean, look, what's the alternative? We still got Grigson in here pulling strings. And that's not something that anybody wants, right? So I'm going to put all my chips in Chris Ballard's basket, hope that he can bring the Colts back to a respectable team, and hopefully his head coach hire is somebody that we as a fan base can respect, put our trust in, look at him, and kind of give him the same courtesy that we do Ballard. We know that he's a bright guy. We know that he's highly touted. We know that people think of him. We want that for my head coach. We want, man, this guy's loved. He's smart. He's this, he's that. That's what we want as a fan base. Who that'll be, you know, I'll be honest with you right now. At this point, there's a couple people that I don't want, but other than that, I don't care, because I just want hope. I want hope for this Colts team. I want hope for the fan base. And I want hope for the roster and the people on it. I just think that the team needs a complete 360 done. And right now they've got the 180, if not a little bit more than that, from Ballard's entrance in itself. A coach with a really solid game plan, with a really strong work ethic, and an ability to get through to players without being, you know, extremely metaphorical and extremely just cheesy and not being their buddy. I want a guy that can come in, and I don't even care if he's a jerk, to be quite honest with you, as long as he treats them with respect as far as how he's coaching. You know, do we want guy walking around, you know, dancing and stuff? I don't know. Maybe, and this is only stuff recent from Pagano, but that stuff is played out, dude. You know, you've got a team to run. You've got a team to coach. You've got a team to prepare. And too often, they're not prepared. They can't come in late and put any kind of run together. The defense tends to fall apart towards the end of games. All this stuff, this is all a factor. And it's all stuff that we want to end. And, you know, hopefully we do see this indeed come to an end. We're going to take a quick break real quick. Right when we come back, we're going to hit our newest segment, Jake Arthur's Fantasy Five. We're going to hit that. And I'll come back in to close out the show after that.
Jake Arthur's Fantasy Five.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go!
What's up, everybody? This is Jake Arthur with my Week 14 Fantasy Five. The playoffs start for most of us this week, so hopefully I can bring you some good plays here. Our first point, we're going to go ahead and hit the waiver wire, and I want to tell you guys a couple of the people that I've got my eye on from the main position groups. All of these guys are owned in 60% or fewer of leagues, so there's a good chance you should be able to get them. At quarterback, you got Jameis Winston, who's now back from injury, and he looked pretty good last week coming back. Looks like that few weeks off really helped. And you've also got Josh McCown, who's been doing well all year, and he's a top 10 quarterback in fantasy right now, so he really shouldn't even be on waivers. At running back, you've got Jonathan Stewart from the Panthers. Hasn't been the most consistent guy, but Carolina's offense is ramping up, and he's kind of being the beneficiary of some goal line work. You've also got Mike Davis out of Seattle, who, you know, he had over 20 touches. Actually, I think he had right on 20 touches and 100 yards last week against Philadelphia. Seattle tends to ride the hot hand with running backs, so look for him to continue to develop in his role there. You've also got Peyton Barber out of Tampa Bay. This is a tricky situation just because of Doug Martin. You know, when Doug Martin's in there, he gets the rock a lot, but he hasn't been very productive. But, you know, other guys that have been put in there have been, just like Barber. 2 weeks ago, he had 2 touchdowns, and then he carried the ball over 20 times this last week. So keep an eye on him as well. Wide receiver, Kenny Stills out of Miami. The last several weeks, he's averaging over 70 yards per game. You got Jermaine Kearse out of New York, one of McCown's main targets. And then Dede Westbrook from Jacksonville. Since making his debut, he's averaging 5 catches for 50 yards a game. His role is only going to continue to grow. At tight end, you've got Cameron Brate, who I kind of poo-pooed him last week because Winston had been out. But now that Winston's back, Brate is back to, you know, his old ways. He caught 2 touchdowns last week, so keep it going with Brate. Also, Charles Clay, Ricky Seals-Jones, and Steven Anderson. Some of the plays I like this week, not necessarily waiver wire guys, but guys I really like their chances to have a good week this week. At quarterback, you got Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers. Running back, Melvin Gordon. And then the Patriots combo of Deion Lewis and Rex Burkhead. They've been outstanding. You could also throw James White in there if you're in a pinch in the flex. Wide receiver, you got Golden Tate, Michael Crabtree, and Josh Gordon. They've all got favorable matchups, and they're all productive guys. At tight end, you've got Hunter Henry and Jason Witten. Henry's a little banged up right now, but it doesn't seem like anything that should keep him out. Jason Witten's been a little inconsistent, but the Giants are a terrific matchup, and he usually does well against them. The defenses, Steelers, Bengals, and Packers, The Packers have just been a so-so defense, but the Browns give up the most fantasy points per game to opposing defenses. Some guys I dislike this week at quarterback, Kirk Cousins and Jacoby Brissett. Both of them have been really inconsistent. It's a bit maddening because as soon as you start them, that's when they falter. Running back DeMarco Murray and Jay Ajayi. Murray at some point is going to have to start giving way to Derrick Henry. It just has to happen. And then Jay Ajayi is just not getting the amount of touches, even though he keeps getting projected to do quite well. At wide receiver, Mike Evans. I know you probably don't want to sit him, and you probably shouldn't sit him. I just don't love how it looks this week for him. He hasn't always been productive in good matchups, and this could be another one here. And then you've got Doug Baldwin and Devin Funchess, who both, you know, great players just going up against terrible matchups. At tight end, Kyle Rudolph, same thing with him. Great player, terrible matchup. And then Vernon Davis, who, you know, after averaging over 60 yards per game pretty much every game this year, has put into absolute bomb performances, just hasn't done anything at all. Our next point we're getting to here is the Colts fantasy outlook. Guys who you could look to play this week are Frank Gore, Jack Doyle, Vinatieri. Those are the main ones. Then you could also potentially play T.Y. Hilton and Marlon Mack. If Tre'Davious White is out this week with his concussion, that could help Hilton's chances a bit. But the Bills are 32nd in the league against running backs, so that's definitely why I like Gore and Mack this week. If the Colts coaching staff is smart, which you can't always accuse them of being, then this should be a run-heavy approach for them on Sunday. And then my parting shots, this was just announced on Tuesday. Juju Smith-Schuster has been suspended this week for his hit against Vontaze Burfict on Monday Night Football. He's going to appeal, but chances are that it's not going to get overturned. Rob Gronkowski is also suspended this week, also appealing, also should not be overturned. Honestly, it should have been more than one game, but that's for a whole nother thing. That's my Fantasy 5 for this week, guys. Please check out my content on Stampede Blue for more explanations of some of these points throughout the week. You can find me on both Facebook and Twitter at Jake Arthur NFL. That's A-R-T-H-U-R. Also, be sure to send me your questions for my Sunday morning Colts and Fantasy Football Q&A videos for every Sunday morning. I want to be able to help you guys out with your playoff matchups this week, so be sure to get a hold of me. Thanks, guys. Good luck this week.
Thank you, Jake, for that. Always enjoy his fantasy outlook for this, guys. And I hope that you guys are, too. It's fun. It'll give us a little bit more to think about, especially with the Colts not being in contention or anything like that. But look, guys, Colts, what do we do? Colts fans, you've got to stay strong for the next few weeks. Root the team on. Understand that the Colts are going to be in a really good position draft pick-wise no matter what happens the rest of the way out. If they were to win all four of these games, they win seven games. I find that very hard to believe that they could clean the slate. Even still, they're going to be in the top 12, top 13 at the worst. So don't lose your fandom. If you don't want to watch the game because you think it's going to be awful, you know, I can't really say that I blame you. I mean, because there are games, especially this year, that the Colts have played that just mostly were unwatchable. But look, remember what we say. Go into this assuming that you're looking at guys to see who's going to be here for next year. You're looking at growth and development and what these guys can bring. And what's their starting point for next year? Because next year is zero. That is where the team starts, and it'll be interesting to see kind of how they climb out of this and get themselves back into what we consider to be, you know, a normal Indianapolis Colts team, fighting for greatness, looking great with a quarterback, you know, an improved defense, some good free agent signings, young, hungry guys wanting to make a team and build it, you know, and take a part in building it. So, I mean, that would be fun. I think that these guys are going to buy in, especially if if Ballard brings in a coach that a lot of people around the league, you know, respect. And I think that's obviously his design and his key. So thank you guys for joining me. We're going to have one more show by the end of the week. We had a crossover with Locked On Bills host Kevin Massery. And we kind of just went through everything, talked for about 45 minutes to an hour. I'm going to play that on our note here. And that'll be our show for tomorrow as well. I'm sorry, Friday. And that'll get you guys all ready. He gives some insight for the Bills that, you know, maybe some of us don't necessarily know about. We don't follow them, but kind of a tertiary look through the team. And he gives a little bit more insight for that, obviously. And then, you know, we kind of go back and forth about some things that we've seen from each team up to this point in the season and kind of what, you know, what our fan bases are going through and stuff like that. So make sure you guys tune into that tomorrow. And thank you guys all for listening. You guys are being fantastic. Continue to get those ratings and reviews up on iTunes. Stick with us here, man. You know, we've got a lot of great content coming out, guys. We've got, you know, we'll have plenty of draft analysts on here here in a few weeks. It's going to be fun because I'm then, you know, we will start digging in. We'll start having some draft stuff. We'll start focusing on positions of need. We'll start doing film review and everything. So we've got a ton in store. Make sure you guys are sharing the show, telling people about it, doing all the great things that you guys do. And always get a hold of me on Twitter at @MDainley_NFL. And most importantly, get to Stampede Blue for all your Indianapolis Colts news, analysis, and breaking down everything that we can. Got a lot of good stuff on there right now, stuff on the Bills, and kind of what to expect from them. So make sure you guys are getting up there and checking that out. Thank you guys all for listening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow right here on the Colts Cast.